Welcome to Top 5, a show where we kick up high and we sing down low and we rhyme and do other things. Yeah, it's Top 5. This week on the show, by popular request, apparently it is being talked about quite a bit in our Discord channel. People want to know our Top 5 favorite musicals. Top 5 favorite musicals. And I don't know about you, Rodrigo, but when I was growing up, when my household wasn't playing Burl Ives and Bing Crosby Christmas albums, my mother was playing show tunes, you know, Camelot with Robert Goulet and sure. The King and I, and just you name it. What's the one with the musical about tilting at windmills? That one was in
Don Quixote.
Yeah, Don Quixote. That one was in
Man of La Mancha.
Yeah, Man of La Mancha. Yeah. Yentl, Fiddler on the Roof. My parents would go and go to musicals all the time. So I was exposed to this from a very young age. And, of course, all the Disney stuff as well. So it was hard for me to pick 5 favorite musicals. But I'm going to try. And hopefully it was hard for you, too.
It was. There's a lot of stuff got cut.
Yeah, I rearranged this list multiple times. But I think I'm going to start off with my number 5, and that is Singin' in the Rain. You know, it's the Gene Kelly musical. It's all about the time period where motion pictures were going from silent film to talkies, and the hijinks that ensue when your lead silent film actress has a horrible voice and they have to dub somebody else in. And of course, it's full of people falling in love and music, of course, and dancing. It's got Debbie Reynolds and Gene Kelly, obviously, but Donald O'Connor is somebody that you cannot not think about with Singin' in the Rain. It's such a great piece. I could go on for several hours talking about Singin' in the Rain. And we did at one point for a little podcast called Zach on Film.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find that
then
podcast.
We lost it.
Yeah, we lost it. It's gone. Gone to the ages. And we vowed we would never return to Singin' in the Rain again until right now. So hopefully this podcast doesn't disappear. But Singin' in the Rain. So many great songs. It has been, you know, the actual Singin' in the Rain song, Gene Kelly singing and dancing in the rain and the lamppost and all that stuff, has been used again and again and again and again so many times in so many different places over the years that I think people will see Tom Holland, you know, with an umbrella hanging from a lamppost and know that it means something, but they probably don't know where it comes from.
Right.
So my number 5, Singin' in the Rain from 1952, by the way. So there you go.
Singin' in the Rain is actually my number 3.
Ooh, okay.
We're gonna burn through this list.
Oh, I'm sure we are. I'm sure we are. I figured it would be on somebody else's list. I didn't figure it would be that quick, but there we go.
Yeah. Singin' in the Rain, good times, of course. Hugely ironic in that what's her name? Debbie Reynolds' voice when she's singing is dubbed by a different actress.
I know, right?
It's great. It's great because it's Hollywood doing Hollywood, and also it's a jukebox musical, but it's been so long that like nobody knows that, like nobody knows those songs from anything except Singin' in the Rain. It's interesting. It's interesting to get into it.
And listen, if people want the non-musical version of Singin' in the Rain and they want a lot more debauchery, then people should go watch the movie Babylon with Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie and a bunch of other fine actors. It is literally Singin' in the Rain. In fact, they even call it out at the end of the movie. It's literally Singin' in the Rain, but for a modern age where people don't have joy in their heart. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people did not enjoy Babylon. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So there you go. So my number 5, Rodrigo's number 3. My number 4, there was a time when, again, my parents are playing musicals throughout the house. I did get to go see a few musicals in my life. I've seen many of them. Even as a young kid, hopefully this doesn't spoil anything on your list. It's certainly not on mine. It was one of the ones that got bumped. But as a young kid, I got to see Yul Brynner perform in The King and I. And that was quite a joy. but really to be exposed to a lot of the stuff that was quote unquote newer. PBS used to have a show, and you would be very familiar with this, Rodrigo, Great Performances, yep, where they would go and record Broadway performances, and then several years later, play it back on Great Performances for the people in the sticks who couldn't afford a Broadway ticket. And that's where I encountered 1987's Into the Woods with Bernadette Peters in it as, I forget what her role was, the witch. Yeah, she was the witch. And I sat there just enthralled by this thing that was, so this is fairy tale stuff and it's a musical. And this is really crazy that they're mixing the stories. Unfortunately, I only got in the second act, the second half of the, of the musical. And it wasn't until I was in college when they were rebuilding the Sheridan Coliseum into a performing arts center that the very first performance at the Sheridan Arts Center was a traveling production of Into the Woods. And I went and saw that and just fell in love with the music, fell in love with the story. It was, I didn't have to buy soundtracks growing up because my parents had them, but this was the very, very first Broadway musical soundtrack that I bought immediately after seeing Into the Woods live. And so it always has a place in my heart. I know some people are like, it's kind of reductive and not very good. And Stephen Sondheim is kind of overrated, blah, 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 blah. And to those people, I say, there is no joy in your heart.
Yeah.
But there is joy in Into the Woods, my number four musical.
Yeah.
You like that one?
I do like that one. It almost made it on my list.
Our lists are going to be so close to one another.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I think that they are going to end up pretty close, but yeah, okay, we'll see.
All right, let's see what you got for your number four.
Actually, I haven't done my five yet.
Oh, that's right, because we did your number three. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. All right, Rodrigo, let's do your number five. My fault, okay. Completely, it's one of those days.
Yeah. Say what you want about him, and we will after we stop recording, but having Matthew here really balances things out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I bet I could name Matthew's five musicals.
Oh, nice. You want to do that? You want to try that now?
So Matthew's number five, and I don't know what order because Matthew never puts anything in order. It's just whatever's on the top of his head. Rent.
Yep.
Rent would be on his list. So
sure.
All right. So your number five is?
Okay. My number five is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
That was going to be on my list, too. It was originally my number two, and then I was like, nope, I got to move this one off the list and put something else in there.
Yeah, some recontextualizing. I recently watched it because my wife got into, a huge South Park kick.
Mm-hmm.
Because she basically grew up watching, South Park, The Simpsons. So I rewatched it and I am now pretty cool on South Park. Like, I used to like it a lot. Now I'm like,
take it or leave it. Yeah.
But the musical holds up and a lot of the references, there's a lot of references in it. And because those references probably wouldn't click with a current audience,
mm-hmm,
it just seems more absurd. People still know who Conan O'Brien is, but they certainly don't know who Brian Boitano is,
yes,
right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So you kind of have to, if new people are watching this, they kind of have to be like, okay, what is happening? But, mm-hmm, war's over or talking about censorship, talking about international policy and stuff like that in general, that all still holds up. Of course, nobody knows who Saddam Hussein is anymore either, but just if you just kind of roll with it, I think it still mostly holds up.
Okay. All right. Very cool. I like that one as well. I was kind of never really into South Park that much when it first started. And then I moved to California and my friend Dave was like, dude, you haven't seen the South Park musical? I'm like, no. And he's like, you got to watch it right now. And he shoved a DVD into my hands and I took it home that weekend. And I was like, oh my God, this is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. So Right. Yeah, it is great parody, great comedy. Definitely deserving on your number five list. Matthew's number four would definitely be Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think would be Matthew's number four.
I can see that.
Yeah. What do you have for your number four?
My number four is Repo the Genetic Opera.
Oh, based on the Repo Man movie?
No.
Oh.
It's its own thing.
No.
Although, basically, the premise is that things are bad, people's organs are failing, and you can get new organs put in for an exorbitant amount, which you expect. And if you don't pay, then the repo man comes out. He takes the organs back.
Okay.
So this is, it has a star-studded cast, including Giles from Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And also Sarah Brightman, I think, is in it. And then Paris Hilton, of course. It's a weird show, but it's a show that I think about a lot. Not just because the songs are really catchy, but also because it's weird structurally. It's weird. And it's an unusual story.
Mm-hmm.
Musicals, I think there's, plenty of musicals, like, for example, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, that are very out there and are doing plots that most musicals wouldn't go near. Repo, exists in this space with some of, like, the darker musicals, probably your Sweeney Todds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it has, I was going to say, like, a modern thing, but it's very, like, late 90s, early 2000s in feel. Which I find to be a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. All right. So what are we up to? We are up to our number threes right now. Here's Matthew's number three. Rodrigo, please tell us why Little Shop of Horrors is at Matthew's number three. Just beyond the fact that Steve Martin does a wonderful rendition of I'll Be a Dentist.
Yeah, there's that. And also, I think Matthew identifies very closely with Mr. Mushnick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he's got plants and they don't respect them. And also his cat is always trying to eat him. So yeah. Kind of like that.
All right. Okay. Very cool. All right. So, my number three, again, this is one that I thanks to our local PBS station growing up, I got exposed to a lot of things. And I also had a little black and white television in my room back in the 1980s. And I was supposed to go with my basketball team to the, what's the big basketball tournament in Kansas City every year? I forget what it is. The college level one. Our coach had gotten us tickets and we were going to go see, college kids play basketball and be inspired for our team to win. Here's a hint. We didn't win. But as I'm getting ready, I turn on the TV and it's of course onto PBS and it's one of their pledge drives. And there's the guy from, The Last Starfighter, a much younger man who is talking about going and bilking this town out of all of its money. And he starts singing and he gets to this town and people are excited. Little Ronnie Howard is in this movie. Screaming about the Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street, and then suddenly there's 76 trombones leading a big parade, and I was like, "Holy crap! What is this? What is this movie? What is this musical that I?" And again, this is like 1980s. I had not seen this 1962 edition of The Music Man. At some times had Shirley Jones in it as well. Great, it's a great piece, and I had to leave because I had to go to this basketball game. And of course, you can't just ask any of your high school 1980s high school friends, hey, you ever heard this musical where this man is with a band? Because you get beat up in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So one thing that I do know about PBS back in the 80s was they would rerun things. And so a year later, right around the same time, I kept routinely turning on PBS just to see if that movie was running again. And sure enough, it was. And so I found out that it was The Music Man with Robert Preston and Shirley Jones and Ron Howard. And I was just like, oh, this is a fun, fun musical. So
yeah.
That is my number three. Is it also on your list?
It is not on my list.
Okay.
But we already did my number three.
We already did your number three. I'm going to go with Matthew's. What are we up to? Matthew's number two already. I'm pretty confident that everything here Matthew would not disagree with me on. He might disagree with the order, but I'm going to put it his number two, Godspell.
Okay.
There's something about what's his name? The guy that was Jennifer Garner's dad in Alias.
Victor Garber.
Yeah, Victor Garber. There's something about Victor Garber that Matthew just digs on. And so I feel pretty firmly that Godspell would be his number two. Mm-hmm. What is your number two, Rodrigo?
My number two is, if you think about it as a single musical, it's very long. It's like a 72-hour musical.
Yeah.
My number two is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a show that has minimum two musical numbers per episode,
mm-hmm.
If not three. And they're all excellent. And they also are very referential, so they'll do pop culture, but also they reference other musicals. Like, for example, there's a Music Man reference in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend where they're like, she's a lawyer and they're trying mm-hmm. to like basically get this class action lawsuit. So they start running around town scaring people, telling them like they're like cold water is like bad for them and it leads to crack. So that's just totally a Music Man reference. And I want to say in that same episode, maybe the next episode, they do a Les Mis take or whatever. So if you like musicals, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a really solid musical, right? Like I said, there's, you know, the four seasons of it, three or four seasons
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good, and the songs are very good. Some, you know, it's a comedy, so some stuff is starting to slide out of, like, oh, this is, like, from this is funny to this is kind of
cringe,
you know, bad, or,
yeah. So here's the thing. I never saw a single episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, mm-hmm. even though I probably should, because I really, really like Rachel Bloom a lot. Yeah. I think she's super, super talented. Years and years and years ago, before she got her big, big break, she was doing these musical skits on YouTube. And mm-hmm. one of the ones that we featured on the Major Spoilers website was F Me, Ray Bradbury. Yeah. It is still one. I mean, I love that song. And every year at Ray Bradbury's birthday, I will dig it up and play it just because it's so much fun. But that's where I got introduced to Rachel Bloom and her super talent. So, yeah, I could see having a whole show where she's also the executive producer, right? And writer on that, or
she's definitely the head writer.
Okay.
Or actually, she has like a writing partner. But I think by the end, she was definitely a producer on the show. I'm pretty sure she was a producer on the show from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know if it ever crosses over into executive producer.
Yeah. No, that was Yeah, cool. That's really neat. Okay, so my number two is the one that is replacing South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, because, again, it's another one that I saw in the theater. I was going on a date. It was late at night, and we were like, oh, I guess we'll just go see this midnight showing of whatever this movie is. It's got Nicole Kidman, and it's got Obi-Wan Kenobi in it. And we were just like, oh, sure, might as well go see it. We don't know really what it's about, except for this weird title, Moulin Rouge. And we were both completely blown away by what Baz Luhrmann did with this movie. This was really kind of before I knew Baz Luhrmann a little bit, because when I was in Atlanta, all my students were just enthralled with Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. Yeah,
and
Romeo.
So,
Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah, Romeo plus Juliet, yes. And so I was like, okay, let's see this. And again, I was blown away, just the way that they were taking pop music and incorporating it into the narrative. I really, really enjoyed that a lot. It is very much, it's very upbeat for, you know, it'd be like a Into the Woods where you're trying to make it more modern for modern audiences. Yeah. And again, the next day I just went to work and I was telling all my coworkers, man, you need to go see this movie, Moulin Rouge. And it's another one that within a day or two, I had gone to the record store. This is a place, kids, where you could go and buy music as on either a vinyl or a cassette tape or even a CD, and you could play it in your car. Well, not the vinyl, but definitely the CDs. And I wore that CD out listening to Moulin Rouge just because I enjoyed it a lot. And yes, I know that there are some people that claim that all the singing was overdubbed. Don't care. It was still really great. It was still really great. Enjoyed it a great, great deal. And my date did too, I guess, because we ended up dating for about 3 months. So there you go. Yeah. So that is my number two. All right, Rodrigo, we are heading into our number ones. And before I get into our number ones, Rodrigo, I should probably remind all of our listeners that this show is only made possible through the support of fine people like you, our dear listeners. I know I was talking PBS with the Music Man and Into the Woods. Makes sense that I should try to do this as a PBS pledge break. If you want to see fine shows like Top 5 and Critical Hit and the Major Spoilers podcast continue far, far, far into the future, you can show your thanks for all the value that you received from this show by heading over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. That's patreon.com/majorspoilers. A simple pledge of $5 per month, $5 per month for all of this entertainment will keep us going, Rodrigo. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, do I get a coffee mug out of this? Not at the $5 level. Certainly not. What are we, losing our shirts? Oh, speaking of shirts, at the $40 level, we will send you a t-shirt. And every year it's a new design. This year it is a sci-fi, 50 sci-fi UFO inspired t-shirt that people are getting right now and they are loving it. You can get that when you sign up at the $40 per month level. But we can't get to our number ones until you pick up the phone and you call right now, patreon.com/majorspoilers, and pledge your support. And now back to our program. Rodrigo, we have reached our number one. Here's Matthew's number one musical. Mm-hmm. It's Head.
Yep.
With the monkeys.
That's what I would have guessed. Yeah.
And it directed, I think either written or directed by Jack Nicholson. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew's talked about Head quite a bit, but I feel like now he's not here and he might say, no, I would have never have picked Rent or I never would have picked Little Shop of Horrors. I think in the spirit of who Matthew is, those would be his top five. All right, my number five, my number one. We've reached my number one. This is one, again, I saw it in the movie theater when it came out. I was super excited about it. I loved how it looked. I was really, really into it. Went and saw it in the theater, and then because it came out during the holidays, our local theater used to run matinees every day. This is back, again, long time ago. Used to run matinees every afternoon for the kids so that, you know, the parents could drop their kids off or whatever, or go to take their kids and see this stuff. And it was cheap. It was like super cheap, like $2 or less for a ticket. And I went every single day between Christmas Day and New Year's Eve to go see Aladdin, the animated movie from Disney. I know some people talk about the trifecta of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and The Lion King. But for me,
really, they leave Aladdin out?
A lot of people leave Aladdin out, and I think it may be a lot of, because I've been talking to a lot of younger kids, people that are younger than you, Rodrigo, and I think it's because of that Will Smith adaptation.
The other two also had terrible adaptations.
I know, but I think that the Aladdin one was so bad that it left a bad taste in these people's mouths to where they don't even want to acknowledge that the animated version existed.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. But what's not weird is that when people say, name a movie you've seen more than 7 times. Oh, man, I've seen Aladdin easily more than 100 times. And again, as soon as I watched it back in the day, my car did not have a CD player. It did have a cassette player. And I just popped that cassette in of Aladdin, the soundtrack, and just played it everywhere I went. And it's one of those that was auto reversible. So as soon as it reached one side, it would flip over and play the other. What a wonderful time. with Aladdin. So that is my number one musical of all time. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number one musical?
My number one musical, and like we said before, this list was tough. I ended up cutting, obviously, a lot of stuff. But I thought for my number one, like, I thought, what is the musical that I think about the most, like, without being prompted by somebody bringing it up or something, that where the songs get stuck in my head the most? And that is by far Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep.
Yeah, Jesus Christ Superstar is just really rocking and has great music. I watched the movie with the, like, I think, like, the majority of it is the original cast. I have seen live performances of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it's always interesting to see what gets moved around, you know, how things are staged and stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Have you watched high school versions of Jesus Christ Superstar or college? I guess I should say probably college more than high school.
I've watched community versions of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it is a challenging play. Like, anybody who decides to take on Jesus Christ Superstar, good luck, because it's incredibly demanding. Like, all three of, like, the voice leads are basically you're in people's minds going up against these, like, three very incredible singers, plus a whole bunch of other really good singers, right? So it's like, well, you know, they're making it their own, they're doing their thing, but it's a tall order. And, you know, the community stuff that I've seen was good, because, you know, you try to, like, put that out of your mind and be like, okay, what's this person bringing it or whatever. But yeah, it's like, man, if somebody was like, hey, I want to cast you in Jesus Christ Superstar, I would say, no, there's no way. Like, there is no way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think about this a lot. My dad really likes it. My brother really likes it. Often while we are sitting around at Christmas singing Christmas songs and traditional Mexican songs, somebody like breaks out into like a
yeah.
So it's kind of always around. That's my number one.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There are our top five favorite musicals. I think we've got a bunch of runners up. We may talk about some of the runners up in the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show that you can find right now over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Maybe you disagree with some of the ones on our list. Maybe you think we should have had some other ones on our list. Maybe your list is better than our list. That could totally be true. We have some very artistic and creative people in our community, and you can share your thoughts, reactions, and everything about this episode, including your top five musicals, by heading over to the Major Spoilers Discord. It's free to join. There's a link in the show notes. You can get into the top five channel and you can share your top five favorite musicals. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.